This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. A lot's been said this week about Florida, about the criminal justice system, about race and individual experiences like the president was talking about. People of color in America often live in a different kind of economy, one where in order to be seen as upstanding, as middle class and respectable, you might have to work harder than everybody else. From the Wealth and Poverty Desk, here's Marketplace's Noel King.
Joanne Holmes is an attorney and an executive at a beverage company. She is doing well.
I mean, I'll be very candid with you. I am probably in the top 2% of black income earners in the United States, top 3 or 4% of Americans.
Being wealthy has perks. Last year, Joanne and her daughter traveled.
We vacationed in Tokyo and Hawaii, and in the winter we went skiing in Vail.
And often, they stood out.
It was not uncommon in certain of the places where we stayed for us to be the only black people there.
It happens a lot, so Joanne is careful.
I'm thoughtful about the way that I speak. I'm thoughtful about the way that I dress. And generally, I'm mindful of being courteous and interacting in a way that helps people feel comfortable with me.
Yesterday, we asked on social media, do people of color in America pay a kind of respectability tax, going above and beyond to telegraph that they're successful, middle class, not dangerous? A lot of people, like Joanne, said yes. Celeste Watkins-Hayes, a sociologist from Northwestern University, says this goes back to the end of slavery, when
this notion of racial respectability really took off. African Americans were trying to figure out, how do we live up to the promise of America? How do we make sure that we have the economic, the educational, the political, and the social rights that we supposedly now have?
Lester Spence, a political scientist from Johns Hopkins, says it persists because African Americans are still trying to live up to that promise.
At stake are a variety of zero-sum resources. Your ability to get a job, your ability to get a raise, your ability to maintain a job. The argument is that if you do not carry yourself in a certain fashion, you are not going to get access to a variety of resources that you need to live.
That's what Kelly White's mother taught her. Kelly, who is a high school teacher, grew up with our producer, John Ketchum. She responded to our call out right away because Kelly's mom had this thing about potential employers.
People already are going to look at you and say, okay, she's black. Let's find something else wrong with her. You already got one strike against you, so don't go out the house putting a second strike on yourself.
But doesn't everyone, no matter what race or ethnicity, have to put their best foot forward on a job interview? Yes. But for many of our listeners, it goes deeper than that. Laura Warren, who is Native American, feels pressure to keep her yard looking nice because she and her husband are among the only people of color in the neighborhood. Richard Garcia, who's Hispanic, once overheard someone comment on his English. Now he works to always be the most articulate person in the room. Shauna Stewart's mom told her on the first day of college she couldn't play hip-hop music in the dorm or people would get the wrong idea about her. While I was on the phone with high school teacher Kelly White...
Oh, just a minute. I got a call clicking in. It's my mom.
It was Kelly's mom, Kathy. I asked if I could talk to her. I told her, some people said this is nonsense. You can't live to impress others. Is it possible that this pressure, this respectability tax, isn't something you have to pay?
For people of non-color, it's like walk a day in my shoes. You are the majority. Walk a day in our shoes and realize that it does make a difference what people think about you, because that can make or break you as far as getting a job.
And that's the conundrum many said they face. Maybe you shouldn't live to impress others, but try making a living if you don't. I'm Noel King for Marketplace.